Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue on our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and if you have your copy, we encourage you to turn now to page 115, bottom of the page, where the question asks, who is the source of this new covenant way of life? And I'm looking forward to hearing that. I hope you are too. So if you have your copy of the study guide, go ahead and turn to page 115 because it is our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've talked a lot over the last couple of weeks about a change in the law. There was a change in the priesthood, and as the writer of Hebrews said, that necessitates a change in the law. So the Levites, they served the role as priests for 1,500 years. But when Jesus came on the scene, he put an end to their priesthood. And he was named by God as a priest forever.
Yes.
He came out of the wrong line to be a priest according to their heritage and ancestry. He came out of the tribe of Judah. Nowhere in the Old Testament was anything ever mentioned about a priest arising from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ did, and he was in the order of Melchizedek. And he has an indestructible life, and because he stands as our priest, actually he's seated at the right hand
yes.
of God. Why? Because his work was finished. Mm-hmm. It's over. It's done. It's complete. The will of God has been carried out on our behalf because of Jesus' work. But he has this indestructible life, and because he has an indestructible life, he can save us completely. And because he's a different kind of priest, there is a different kind of law. So the law of the old was external, written on tablets of stone. The law of the new is internal, written on the tablets of our hearts by the Spirit of God. And that's where we're going to pick up today. And Bob has already asked the question there at the bottom of page 115, who is the source of this new covenant way of life according to 2 Corinthians 3:3. And Richard, would you read that passage to
sure.
us? I love this chapter.
Chapter
3 of 2 Corinthians. It is fantastic as it describes this new covenant that we live in, this new law of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is one of those signature verses, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
So who is the source of this new life that we now have in Christ Jesus?
The Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit of God. And where is he writing this life, authoring this life in us?
Inside.
Inside, on the tablets of our hearts. So this truly is an internal thing that is happening. Mm-hmm. One of your favorite phrases, Richard, is inside out.
Yes.
You know, the law worked from outside, but it never worked its way in. It
Correct.
Was just external, always external. Jesus said that time and time again. You're clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. Why? Because the law couldn't reach the inside. The
yeah.
law couldn't touch the human heart. That took the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God is working inside of us, writing the story of Christ's life on the tablets of our hearts. And that's an incredible difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And that's what enables us to experience a whole new way of life altogether, something that is qualitatively different. So this new life is being written on the tablets of our hearts. Now in John, 1 John chapter 4, this, along with 1 Corinthians 13 and probably John 13, 14, and 15, these are the great love chapters in the Word of God. And so the expression of all that Christ is doing inside of us, or all that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us, is love. Paul put it this way, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And John talks about that in this fourth chapter of his first letter. And he says, so here's the question, what is John's encouragement to us in 1 John 4:7? And he wrote this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves, has been born of God, and knows God. So what is the encouragement that John gives each and every one of us who are believers in Christ Jesus?
To love one another.
To love one another. And where does this love come from?
From God himself.
From God himself. And the reason it comes from God is because he is love.
Yes.
That's who he is. So he also says some things. So what is true of those who love others according to John?
They've been born of God.
We've been born of God.
And they know God.
And they know God. So the only people who can really express the love of God in this world today are those of us who have been born of God and who know God. Mm-hmm. What do we know about God? We know that he is love. That's what we know about him. That's what makes us different from everyone else out there in the world. You ask 100 people on the streets and, you know, pick people who don't identify as Christians and ask them what they think about God. What do you know about God? And they're never going to say that God is love. Why? Because they don't know that about him. They're going to say all sorts of things, but love isn't going to be a part of that description.
Yeah.
Why? Because they haven't been born again, and they don't know what God is really like. But that information, that knowledge has been placed in us. And we know, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, that God is love. And so when he says we ought to love one another, that just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it makes sense, especially if you look at John's life in the Gospels. Here's a guy who was uber competitive, who at the drop of a hat was ready to fight, who when somebody said something bad about them was ready to call fire down from heaven, and all of a sudden this guy's talking about love. I mean, he had as much of a change of heart as Peter or Paul or anyone else.
Yes, he did. And I love how he described himself in his gospel. He never named himself mm-hmm. in that gospel. He simply said that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yeah.
What a description, and what a way to go through life. Mm-hmm. If we would all go through life with that same attitude, we're the ones whom Jesus loves. We know that love. We've experienced that love. We've tasted. We've digested. That's become a part of who we are. That's identified us. That's our label. That's our moniker.
Yeah.
That's how we go through life, as the people whom Jesus loves. He loved us by demonstrating that through his death on the cross, but he loves us today. He's alive, fully alive in us, mm-hmm. loving us every minute, 365, 24/7. That's the love of God, and we know that, and that's what distinguishes us from the world. And we see this again in John 13, 34 through 35. He gives us a new command. Jesus gives us a new command in this particular verse. Richard, read this for us.
Okay. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
So based on this, what is the mark that distinguishes you from the world and is the evidence that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ?
I love one another. I love other disciples of Christ. I love children of God. And by extension, I love the world in a way
right.
that I never could before.
Absolutely. Why? Because you see the world from a completely different
yes.
perspective. No longer from a worldly or a human point of view, but from God's perspective, through God's eyes, through God's love. And boy, that changes everything. You know, it yeah. turns that once judgmental attitude in one of empathy, one of understanding, one who knows what that person is going through, with a willingness to help lift them out of that and put them on a pathway of hope and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to love one another. And, you know, we talk about apologetics, making a defense for the gospel. I don't think there's any more powerful evidence than what this verse is laying out, our love one for another.
Yeah.
That's when the world sees that, then they know that we truly are disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the evidence that he's real. That's the evidence that he's alive today. That's the evidence that he's transforming hearts, the fact that we love one another. And, you know, back in the day, of Jesus, the early disciples. Peter, I just think of him taking this good news to Cornelius, a Gentile family. Think of Paul traveling the Gentile world, going into city after city after city, proclaiming to those Gentiles the good news of Jesus Christ and learning to love them.
Yes.
As the world looked on, they were amazed. They were just astounded by what had happened, the fact that bitter enemies are now together as people, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the evidence the world needs to see, our love one for another. Now, Jesus says this is a new command. When somebody asks him about the greatest command, thinking that Jesus would say maybe command number one or maybe command number six or something like that, Jesus summarized the entire law by this, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might, and that we are to love others as ourselves. So hasn't he already given us this command to love one another? What makes this new? As Jesus said, a new command give you.
It is actually radically new, because in those two commands that he quoted, he was summarizing the entire Mosaic covenant. And notice how he put the love one another as you love yourself. Well, here he's changed it completely. The kind of love he's talking about here, love each other as I have loved you, that's another demonstration that this is coming from the inside out. He loved us visibly, externally, because we watched him die and raise again, but now that he lives inside of us by the Holy Spirit, there is a completely different level of relationship among people that's possible, that was never possible under law.
Right. So he raises the bar, doesn't
completely.
He? Yeah, so this is a much, much higher standard. So if you think that the Ten Commandments is still the rule of life for a believer, you're selling yourself short. Mm-hmm. You're missing the fullness of what God has for you. Learning to love others as God in Christ has loved you is a whole different plane. It's a whole different realm, and only the Spirit of God can take you there.
Yes.
You can't get there through human effort. So if you want to live out and be the human being that God has designed you to be, you're going to have to rest in his love for you. You're going to have to trust his Spirit to take you there. That's the only way to get there. If you're going to love your enemies as Christ has loved your enemies, if you're going to reach out to them and serve them as God in Christ has served you, that's a Spirit-led thing. That's why we need to recognize that the law has changed, the priesthood has changed, we have a whole new way of life in this new covenant. And it's a life that is built upon our knowledge of Jesus Christ. The old, no one really knew the Lord. They knew about him. They knew some information. In this new, we have heartfelt knowledge about God that distinguishes us from the world. So to know God, and that's eternal life, is to know that he is love. So we have been entrusted with the knowledge of God. That's what distinguishes us from the world. That's the story of the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And boy, that just is so profound. And sometimes we forget what we have in Christ and what we can really offer to the world out there.
Yeah. Well, you found the Friday study edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad that you have joined us. And friends, I want to remind you once again that if you've joined the study in progress or if you've missed any of the sessions, we hope you'll take advantage of the archive. And you'll find it when you visit basicgospel.net. Just click the radio drop-down menu and then select Teaching Edition. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Radio and the drop-down menu, and then Teaching Edition. There you'll find the full archive, and there you'll also be able to order a copy of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with the study guide, and be able to accompany us as we study through it each of these Friday sessions. Please keep in mind also, friends, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast and program. If what you're hearing is helping you, clearing up some things for you, well, we invite you to help us keep this good news on the air with a gift today. Visit basicgospel.net and click donate. There's a prominent link right on the homepage. Or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, weekend, it doesn't matter. 844-322-2742 is there to serve you, our Basic Gospel listeners. Or again, you can go to basicgospel.net. As I said, a big prominent link right on the homepage. Click that, and there's something special coming to you when you do.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I divided it into three parts. The first part is life, the life that we have in Christ. He came that we might have life. We are saved by grace. What does that mean? That God makes us alive. We cross over from death to life. That's what salvation is. For that to happen, God had to forgive us, and that's what the second part of the book is about. It's about the forgiveness that we have in Christ, that God remembers our sins no more. Well, when we're secure in those two, we can experience what the gospel is really about, our freedom in Christ.
Yes.
Christ came to set us free, to set us free from the law of sin and death, to set us free from all things that bound us up. He came to mend our broken hearts, to heal us, to fix us, to make us complete so that we can be free, could be free to live out our humanity and reflect the very image of God that he created us to do. That's what ultimate freedom is all about. And as we grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, we'll see us growing in our freedom, a freedom that allows us to be to know and to be known, a freedom that enables us to be generous and to look toward the needs of others. That's what freedom is all about. I don't have to be bound to trying to get my own needs met. Yeah. I can rest in the fact that Christ has met them once and for all, which frees me to think about others, to serve others in love. And Galatians 5:13 is a wonderful example of that, a really powerful verse. And it says this: "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So according to this passage, Richard, what were we called to do based on these words?
Well, we were called to be free.
Okay.
And to serve one another.
And how are we to use that freedom as children of God?
In service.
In service. Now, there's a lot of folks that will say, "Hey, I'm free. I'm going to go indulge the flesh."
Yeah.
Well, that's not a step into freedom. That's a step back into bondage.
Yes.
If you're going to serve the flesh, then you are saying, "I'd rather be a slave than be a free man." Mm-hmm. You would rather let the desires of the flesh, sin, control you. You would rather be under that authority,
yes,
that power. But if you want to serve others in love, you're saying, "I want to be a genuinely free man." So we're free. We can indulge the flesh, but that's not real freedom.
No.
If we want to experience that freedom, it's serving one another in love with that attitude of humility. Now, we want to consider the Apostle Peter. Now, you know, he had an interesting life. He was impetuous. You know, there were things where he got it right, and he just showed just a love for Jesus like no one else. Other times he just got it all wrong, and Jesus would say, "Get behind me, Satan. You've just seen this from the wrong perspective." And then in the garden, you know, impetuous Peter, he takes out his sword and he slices off the ear of the servant. And Jesus was none too happy about that,
yes,
rebuked Peter. And so we see that kind of quality in Peter, the impetuous one. And as Jesus is saying to Peter, "Tonight you're going to deny me." And he says, "Oh, no, not me. Never, never, never." But as the night wore on and as the cock finally crowed in the morning, he realized that he had denied the Lord three times exactly as Jesus had said he would. And you can imagine what Peter felt like. He wept. I mean, there was just this horror that invaded his soul, as if he had crossed the line and God would never be able to look at him. Jesus would never be able to look at him in his eyes again. But that wasn't the case, was it?
Not at all.
There's this beautiful story at the end of John's gospel, And we read it in John 21:15-17. Richard, would you read this passage for us?
Sure. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep.
It's just an astounding story to me. It just gets to me every time I hear it, because I've been where Peter is. You feel like you've disappointed the Lord. You felt like you've done something that is going to bring that look of disgust and displeasure from his eyes. But that wasn't the case with Peter. Jesus lifted him up and he said, Peter, do you love me? And if so, feed my sheep. He's saying, you're still a part. You still belong. You're still marked out as one of my own. You heard my voice. You followed. You're going to continue to follow. Even though you fell flat on your face and you tried to do something that through human effort that I knew you couldn't do, you learned a lesson. So I'm not going to kick you out. I'm restoring you. Go feed my sheep. And he told Peter that three different times.
Yes.
And it's amazing to see that Jesus was saying to him, I still want you to be a part of my business. I still want you to carry out the work that I've laid out for you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we feel like, you know, we've reached an end, that God will never use us again, that God will just toss us aside and will forget about us. But this story with Peter reminds us that that's not the case, that God still wants to use us. If we belong to him, Jesus still wants us to feed his sheep in however way that that's going to work out. And what did Peter do? He fed the Lord's sheep. Man, he stood up on the day of Pentecost and he gave a sermon like none other. 3,000 were added to the church that day. He went into Samaria. He told the Samaritans about the Holy Spirit. He laid hands on them. They received the gift of God's Spirit. And then he marched up to Caesarea Philippi, not Philippi, but Caesarea by the sea, yes, into Cornelius' house. And he told them about Jesus, Gentiles. And they came to know the Lord. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. Peter was able to do exactly what Jesus wanted him to do. He experienced ultimate freedom. The love of God compelled him to break away from long-held sentiments toward the Gentiles and tell them about Jesus. So let me ask this question. How has your heart knowledge of God transformed you, enabled you to reach out and serve others in love? I think as you look back and answer that question, this grace of God will fill your heart even more. And it will make it overflow with this attitude of thanksgiving for the love that you have in Christ Jesus. It is such a wonderful thing to know the love of God.
Without question. Well, guys, thanks again for a wonderful study. It's the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide that Bob Christopher has prepared to accompany the book by the same name. And you can find the complete archive or audio archive of these Friday study editions under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, radio, teaching edition. Now, to all of those of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, thank you. Because of what you do, because of your support, we at Basic Gospel are able to continue to take the good news to those who desperately hear it, need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. And when you give through Basic Gospel, you have a part in every life that is touched. If you can help today, we would really appreciate your partnership with us. Just click that prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we have a special gift for you as our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel. Again, that's at basicgospel.net, or you can call your gift to 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours daily. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.